find that 25 minutes to wait. It's you're, and I should mention, you're on 3CR Breakfast, Disability Day Breakfast with Phineas and Daniel this evening. It's time for our next guest. Daniel.
Good morning. We have got Mr. Tony Clark, the AFL candidate for Ringwood, on the line. How are you doing today, Tony?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, Daniel. How about you?
I'm extremely well. On International Day of Disability, how was campaigning with a person who is visually impaired? What was that like?
Oh, look, I had an absolute ball, to be honest. And the guy, you know, with having a vision impairment, you know, it's, look, while it presents its challenges, it's certainly no barrier, you know. And, you know, I had a great time.
Right. How did you go about campaigning, please?
Oh, look, pretty much, you know, it's a bit like most things. Look, I campaign. We did everything that you would normally do in a campaign. So, you know, we went door knocking, we did train stations and met people, we did street stalls, lots of phone calling, you know, visiting community groups, you know, meeting people. And, you know, look, you might do things a little bit differently from the point of view of I'll have someone standing with me and I'll go, you know, when somebody's there walking down from the station, you go, good morning, how are you going? As you offer them a brochure. And people introduce you. So look, it was a really good experience.
Tony, is because you were using public transport.
Yep.
Does that mean, as a person with a disability, you may be able to give some practical insight how this may affect people with a disability?
Well, in terms of standing for Parliament, particularly, or are you talking about, you know, what are you looking for?
Is it at a train station, or let's say accessible tram stops, for example.
Yep.
Is that while you're campaigning, if you're using public transport, would you be able to give some first-hand experience how this may affect people?
Oh, look, I suppose the way you do it is you just sort of find a visible spot. And within the electorate of Ringwood, we had 5 train stations. So, you know, and we have some new train stations. We need to build there's some old ones that need to be built for accessibility perspectives. So, for example, you know, Mitcham train station was a new station. The former government didn't put a lift in. So that actually made it, that was actually a real barrier for people. They had to retrofit there. And the new station down in Ringwood that they're going to be building, they weren't going to put a lift in, and they're going to put one in now after there were, you know, 200 submissions from community groups. So, you know, so hopefully there'll be. And look, I think one of the things we need to do as a community is we need to embrace people with different needs, whether they're disability or whatever, and that includes representative parliament. And we need to encourage people, you know, to put their hand up and do this sort of stuff.
What, Tony? It's Phineas here. What sort of barriers to barriers what barriers are you going to confront in terms of particularly having to read vast amounts of legislation, having to things which perhaps the average candidate without a vision impairment might not encounter?
Oh, look, most of the stuff was electronic. They have come a little bit away. You know, you know, obviously with a screen reader. So I didn't find any issues with that in terms of reading stuff. Look, it takes time. It doesn't matter whether you have a vision impairment or don't have a vision impairment. It just takes time. It might take you a little bit longer, perhaps. But certainly, look, I have to say one of the good things about the Labor Party was it is actually very inclusive. And I think that one of the things that, you know, people with a disability need to start to look at is how do they actually incorporate themselves into the political framework so that they can actually really start to overcome some of these major issues and cultural issues that are out there.
Because I heard some political coverage on a commercial television station, and John Brumby was one of their panelists, and he was pleased to point out that you were a blind candidate. I'm just wondering, is that likely to? Are you worried that you're likely to be pigeonholed as the blind candidate, and that you'll only have certain responsibilities, I suppose, for the sort of the health and sort of caring portfolios rather than other stuff?
Yeah, look, firstly, I wasn't elected, so unfortunately, if you look at the map at eastern Melbourne, it's just a sea of blue. So I haven't been given that privilege, which is a shame. But in terms of being pigeonholed, look, I suppose there's always a bit of a danger with that. But one of the interesting things was when I first stood, they were at odds to go, look, we're not sure whether we want to promote the fact that you're blind. So they tried to sort of, perhaps not do that. Whereas as it progressed, it became very clear, look, that's actually a pretty stupid strategy, because the reality is, it's who I am. Mm. And it's a part of who I am. And we need to be proud of that. And we need to embrace that. And it's not that we went forward with that, saying you're the blind candidate in a major way. But, you make sure that it's got the picture so that people understand that that's what the issue is. And in terms of, getting pigeonholed, if I were to get up, elected at some stage in the future, if that's always a potential. But, I also think on one hand, though, having a disability portfolio, who else would be able to represent and get some really quick runs on the board than someone like myself, some real life, life experience?
Tony, what do you want to see in disability policy from the new government?
Look, I think there's a whole lot of things which I'd be very hopeful to see. I see there are some major barriers around employment, and I think it's the government's responsibility to take a lead to actually start to show and demonstrate to big business that employing people with a disability is there is a positive thing with that. So I'd like to see some policy around some affirmative employment. I'd also like to see, in terms of the procurement guidelines, the government start adopting that they look at how they can actually positively encourage businesses to go, look, we are going to select you as a business to provide our services. One of the things we'll look at is, what is your corporate social responsibility? What is your employment? How are you proactively looking to seek to employ people with a disability?
Tony, would you encourage other people to stand for public life who have got a disability?
Look, I would, but I think it's not because they have a disability they should stand. It's because that they're engaged with the community and they want to do it. It just so happens they have a disability.
Yep, I understand the difference. That how does a person make the transition to actually step up and be integrated into the community to maybe become an elected member of parliament?
Look, I think the first step is you've got to get involved in your community. You've got to be an active community member. So, for example, I've been involved in scouting since, I've been a leader for 27 years. I've been on school council. I've been president of school council. I'm on college council now. I've been involved in lots of other things. So, and I'm out and about and in my local branch. So I think the first step is get involved in your community and build up, do you actually enjoy the community life? And if you do that, based on that, well then, get involved in a political party and start that process. And I didn't get any freebies when I did this. I've worked very, very hard for what I've got and where I've got.
Now, Tony, what's your message for Disability Day?
Oh, look, I think my message for Disability Day is that, you've got to work hard. Don't wear your disability as a chip on the shoulder. It's a part of who we are, and it's something that we have to celebrate.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Tony. That's all we have time to. Thank you very much for joining us today. And we are going to take a short break.
And good luck with your candidacy in the future, Tony.
Beautiful. Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's, every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, hit me, je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me slowly, hit me quick, hit me.
Okay, we have got the Disability Sport and Recreation Festival happening today at Federation Square from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and also a free activities day at the Glenara Sports and Aquatic Centre at 200 East Boundary Road in Bentley East. And on December the 10th, there is Strumorama by Wild at Heart, about music events about from people with a disability. And it's time for our next guest, and that's at the Prince of Wales in St Kilda.
Well, I hope our next guest isn't there, because it's a bit too early to go to the pub, Daniel. But we're joined today by that's a really terrible introduction, Finn. We're joined today by Cashel Dunn, who is the she's recently been to the UN convention. Well, you recently been to the UN to talk about their committee against torture, and she's from Women with Disabilities Australia. Cashel, welcome.
Thank you very much. Now, thanks for having me on the show.
Now, no problem. Now, tell me what, or tell us why was it important to go over there and talk to the committee against torture?
Well, women with disabilities, and actually people with disabilities, experience a lot of issues that come under the Convention Against Torture, and these are still continuing in Australia today. Australia is still violating the Convention Against Torture. So it was important that we went over to discuss these issues with the committee and make them informed of what was occurring in Australia and what needed to be done by the government.
Well, what sort of issues were you discussing?
I was particularly discussing violence against women, and in particular violence against women with disabilities. So I was discussing the national plan to reduce violence against women, which Australia has implemented, however, provides very limited scope for women with disabilities. I was also discussing the institutional and residential setting violence and abuse that is experienced by women and girls with disabilities living in Australia, and the fact that Australia still hasn't launched a national inquiry into that, which has created a lot of attention since we've got back. And additionally, sterilisation, forced and coerced against women and girls with disabilities, which is a practice that remains unsanctioned by governments in Australia.
Violence against disability. You've talked about that, or you went over there probably with the mindset that Australia isn't doing enough for people. What is the Australian government actually doing about violence against women with disabilities?
Well, they have introduced this national plan to reduce violence against women, which in its second action plan, which was introduced this year, has some further targets for people with women with and girls with disabilities. However, it's all very domestic violence focused, and therefore has significant limitations for people with disabilities.
What are those limitations?
Well, people with disabilities experience violence in a much larger range of settings. For example, institutional and forced sterilisation or forced abortion. These are primary areas where most people wouldn't consider violence against women.
Now, it's interesting you phrase that, because people... you're right, people don't consider that, torturous or particularly violent, but it is. In terms of sterilisation, when I've been discussing this with people, a lot of people say to me, oh, yeah, but there are cases that, you know, where if someone is severely or profoundly disabled, sterilisation's okay. What do you make of that assertion?
That seems to be a very, very common attitude towards sterilisation in Australia. However, if a person was living without a disability, they wouldn't consider that the same issue. We only consider as does the Convention Against Torture, sterilisation appropriate if it has the prior free and informed consent of the person concerned, or unless it's serious or life-threatening to their health. There are numerous other options that can be considered for... reproductive health. We don't consider forced or coerced sterilisation appropriate for anyone, but particularly people with disabilities.
What's the Convention Against Torture, and what's the Convention Against Torture saying back to Australia and you guys about our obligations, or what do we need to do better?
Well, the committee has come back with their concluding observations recently, and they have highlighted their deep concern that involuntary or covert sterilisation of children and adults with disabilities is an ongoing practice in Australia, and they recommend that the Australian government enact a national and uniform legislation prohibiting forced or coerced sterilisation, except where there is a serious health or life threat.
And what about also violence? What about also violence against women? I know before you talked about the national plan which the government has implemented. Does that, in the eyes of the Convention Against Torture, go far enough, Cashel Dunn?
We informed them of a lot of the issues with it, and they took a lot of time considering it, and they have expressed their concern at the rates of violence perpetrated against women with disabilities and also Indigenous women. There's particularly high levels of violence in those areas. And they have called on Australia to redouble its efforts to prevent and combat all forms of violence against women, not just domestic violence.
Fantastic. Well, that is sadly all we have time to discuss with you. All we have time for today, Cashel. If people want to find out more about the Convention Against Torture and also Women with Disabilities Australia's response, where can they go?
They can go to our website, which is www.wwda.org.au, which is WIDA, or our Facebook page, which provides a lot of information. I'd also like to encourage people to go on and sign the National Inquiry into Disability Abuse petition.
Fantastic. And yes, I also encourage people to do that. We will hopefully we'll put up, I haven't discussed this with Helen, so doing a production meeting on air, but we will hopefully put those links up on the we'll hopefully put the links up as part of the podcast for Disability Breakfast for all that, if you missed it. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Cashel Dunn from Women with Disabilities Australia.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
One of the things we know about people with disabilities is that we are diverse. We want to make sure that it doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim woman who wants to go to a mosque and needs support, that you can get it. If you're a gay man and you want to go nightclubbing, you can get it. Whatever your lifestyle is, that is important to be able to realise. And people with disability come from all of those backgrounds.
In one of the most enlightened and wealthiest nations in the world, it is possible for persons with disability to die of starvation in specialist disability services, to be raped or assaulted without any reasonable prospect of these crimes being detected, investigated, or prosecuted by the legal system, and to have their children removed by child protection authorities on the prejudiced assumption that disability simply equates with incompetent parenting.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4!
You be a weed for life. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.